Hey, Queens, before we get gay as fuck started, I have a delightful treat for you. As you know, I am doing a brand new season of Hey Queen on the Mothership with World of Wonder, streaming on WoW Presents Plus. And World of Wonder wanted me to share this special code for my podcast listeners to get 20% off their monthly subscription. So all you got to do is use the code JMGay, and honey, they're going to take this price under $4. You can get caught up on all of Hey Queen, plus all the international versions of Drag Race. Get over there and use the code JMGAY and get yourself 20% off your subscription to WoW Presents Plus, where you can watch all the new episodes of what? Hey Queen! Hey Queen!
It's a Kiki with John and Mick G. Gonna spill all the tea. All my LGBTs, you're in luck. 'Cause Johnny McGovern is gay as fuck.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Gay as Fuck. I'm your host, Mr. John T. McGoverness, he who is. Baby, I not only just finished watching Jake Gyllenhaal in the remake of Roadhouse, but more importantly, I've just finished perusing all of the Jake Gyllenhaal workout videos for his Spread and Men's Health, where he is showing off all the hard work he put into getting that body together for Roadhouse. I mean, Roadhouse begins where Jake Gyllenhaal comes into, like, you're in a underground boxing place. Post Malone is there, and a hooded figure comes into the ring to challenge him. And then, honey, he takes off his hooded sweatshirt and reveals that body, honey. And the body is so stunning, so ripped, so lean, so incredible that even Post Malone says, "I can't fight this motherfucker," and walks out of the ring. And that is the reaction that his body gets throughout this entire movie. I mean, the movie is actually a delightful piece of sexy Hollywood action fluff, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But what makes every part of it incredible is how much Jake Gyllenhaal is shirtless and how deep is the cum gutters on his tight new body. Those cum gutters are so deep. This motherfucker is looking tight. And of course, when you do a movie that's all about you having your shirt off, you of course must pose for Men's Health for an article that we will not read, but for a visual that we will enjoy. And baby, they have him jiggling around in shorts. They have him punching. They have him pushing. They have him swiping, sweating, doing it. And it makes me think of all the gay rumors about him and whatever that other actor was that supposedly he's been having years-long affair with. And you think, if they are truly together, think of the hot extra testosterone sex that they are having right now. Or if the rumors that we talked about last week, the blind items, were true, that he's really going from personal trainer to personal trainer and fucking them. That's even more exciting. Now, we don't know if any of that is true, but do we like to think about it? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Now, if you want to hear me get deep on Roadhouse, me and Erica Tor Aviance are doing a full Roadhouse watch along this week on the Patreon, which is patreon.com/gayestofalltime. We're going to watch, we're going to get in, we're going to comment, we're going to lust, we're going to laugh. I mean, the movie, it has some laughable moments in a good and bad way. And of course, you have Jake Gyllenhaal versus a coked up seeming Conor McGregor, really what seems to be the longest amount of foreplay one has ever seen in a movie. Now, Conor McGregor is playing the role of the man that in the original Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze said,
"I used to fuck guys like you in prison."
Now, unfortunately, they do not say that line in this version. But that can't stop us from thinking that line. Okay. It can't stop us from thinking that line. Or thinking of the deleted scenes where he finally beats Conor McGregor. And then Conor McGregor looks at him and says, "Well, you've won it. Not only this fight, but you've won my whole." So if you want to do that, join me over on Patreon. And I also have a great new interview with Kevin Avion talking about Beyonce, talking about his new album, talking about his openings of Hey Queen, talking about the time the spirit of Lady Red came to him, as well as Teddy Margus and his sister talking all about their Hermes store in New York City and the luxury of all that. So basically, what am I talking about on the Patreon? Faggoty shit, okay? Good bodies, Club Divas, Hermes, it's all there. Join me if you want to get into that. But in the meantime, baby, it's a busy week full of lots of interesting things. So let's get into it. Now, look, we gave Lucas Gage a very hard time on this program a while back when we all got into his crazy 6-month marriage to Kim Kardashian's hairstylist, as well as a man who we believe has had a diamond jaw facial, jaw filler, that is Chris Appleton, the fuzzy jackets with the Las Vegas ceremony with Shania Twain singing to them. I mean, by the time everyone knew they were married and watched on the Kardashians, a week later in real life, it was over. And there were rumors of cheating. What happened? That Lucas had cheated on Chris and he was so upset. And, you know, there was just, who knows what really went on there, but something happened and they quickly got divorced, leading to all sorts of speculation, as on this program. But delightfully, and this really made me like Lucas Gage, because he went on Watch What Happens Live and he basically described the entire marriage as a manic episode.
What did you do with the fur coats that you got married in? And by the way, how did you decide to get married in fur coats? Whose decision was that?
There are also leather not pants.
Did he just like, did someone from the Kardashians TV show hand you fur coats and say,
Andy,
you're getting married in these right now?
Literally, I don't know what went through my head. I don't know what happened. The fur coats was a horrible idea. I want to apologize to Shania Twain for wasting her time. I mean, we're still holding on. You're still the one after like 3 weeks. That was unhinged. That was like the biggest waste of her time. But I love you, Shania. I'm really sorry about that.
Are you like a lifelong Shania Twain fan?
100%.
Oh, you are.
I love Shania.
So that was a huge thing.
That was
Shania
that was
Twain
cool.
came in.
That was really cool. I just wasted
and sang for you.
I just wasted her time a little bit.
And then, and Kim K actually married you?
Yeah.
And was she, is she licensed to marry people?
She is, yeah.
She is.
Yeah, she got her, yeah.
And did you know her before this?
Yeah, look, Kim's great. She was really sweet to fly us all out and take care of us and pay for everything, but...
And put you on her show?
sorry to Kim and Shania. So sorry.
I'm dead.
Like, did Chris Appleton, like, dye your hair while you were with him? Like, did he, like, do your hair?
I hope at least.
I hope, right.
I will just say, while that was happening, I've never had my hair look like that before. And
it's never looked better as well?
No, never looked worse.
Oh.
And he also started to elaborate a little bit further, but he then said, I might have signed an NDA, so he was not able to do as such. But I believe that little saying it was a manic episode and the shade of saying that his hair while he was with him, the famous stylist, was never worse in his entire life. Ooh, and that he had no idea about the fur coats. Like, baby, can you imagine? You're in a manic episode. You're with Kim K's handsome fake jawed stylist, and they are taking you to see Shania Twain. All the Kim Kardashian's reality show cameras are there. Shania is singing to you. You've been only dating for a month. You're about to get married, and your hair's never looked worse. They must have been having a very hot, erotic encounters at that moment. I mean, I can imagine the sex was probably hot. They're both good-looking guys. I mean, they both just got dickmatized. And then by the time he woke up from the dickmatization, baby, he was married in a fur coat with Shania Twain singing to him. And then he was like, what the fuck? Oh, I got to get out of here. Now, him marrying Chris Appleton like that made me think he wasn't as cool as I thought. But this little interview clip made me like him a lot more. His whole appearance on Watch What Happens Live, he's with Katie Maloney from Vanderpump Rules. And he is quite opinionated about the people on Vanderpump Rules. He is throwing shade to them as well. It's not just Chris Appleton that got the shade. He throws some serious shade. So I'll say Lucas Gage, well played. You made us think perhaps you weren't insane or that you were just insane for that short period of time where you married Chris Appleton. My hair never looked worse. Ouch. Ouch, honey. Now, following up on a story we've discussed before, I got a tip from a listener. Very interesting tip, but I don't want to blow up the spot of the subject of the story, so I'll have to do it blind item style. Okay. This is going to be a very obvious one, but this new seeming boyfriend of the handsome Olympic athlete may have a sexy secret we didn't realize at first. It seems the handsome hairy hunk, often seen posing in his Calvins, isn't just holding hands in the jungle and smooching his new love, but he's also been a very popular OnlyFans performer who appears minus his head, but who makes sweet pummeling love to many a bottom with his girthy tool. I'm not bad at this on the spot blind item writing, though I think that was a run-on sentence. His Grindr profile has been giving clues to what the sexy duo might enjoy in the bedroom, saying apparently his OnlyFans collabs are no longer since he got into his new relationship, and people on his page are complaining he's only giving them solo material. But a look at his Grindr tells us that he is with a partner and they are interested in playing with a third or other couples, and that they're both first. I mean, just because they're stars doesn't mean they don't like it spicy. I mean, when you look that good, when you want to have a three-way or other couples, yes, you would. Now, I put clues in the blind item so you could pick up the clues. So I'm sure you'll do that.
Yeah. It's Bad Boy, baby.
Yeah. It looks like chickens might be coming home to roost for Diddy, sweetie, because apparently, Homeland Security has raided Diddy's home in what his lawyer is calling an unprecedented ambush. Well, look, if you've been listening to this show, you know what's going on with Diddy. Not only did Cassie come out and give some details about the horrors that he put her through, but multiple other women, as well as one man, so far, at least, have come talking about his sexual harassment, his drugging, the list goes on and on. And of course, we know what Kim Porter's sister said about him.
I put my finger in his ass personally, so I know his ass was loose.
Well, it looks like there's another person trying to shove their way up his ass, and that is Homeland Security, because apparently his lawyer claims that military-level force was used when Homeland Security raided Diddy's homes in Miami and Los Angeles on Monday. His quote is, "Yesterday, there was a gross overuse of military-level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Combs' residences. There's no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by the authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Mr. Combs was never detained, but spoke to and cooperated with authorities. Despite media speculation, neither Mr. Combs or any of his family members have been arrested, nor has their ability to travel been restricted in any way." They had helicopters. They had cars. They had all sorts of shit. The raids were reportedly part of a sex trafficking investigation. I don't know if there's one thing it seems quite clear that Diddy's been doing. It's sex trafficking in one way or another. Now, things have been looking bad for Diddy even before this. The night before he was raided, he was at a Hollywood party and he was seen looking nervous. Anytime he heard a sound, he was looking around in a weird way, and he got completely nudged by Flava Flav. Honey, you can see the footage. Flava Flav completely ignores Diddy. Now, look, you can imagine that Flava Flav, usually when he sees Diddy, he's all like, "Hey, Diddy," you know. But the icy cold of this encounter, where Diddy is kind of sitting on a stool at a table, no one's talking to him, Flava Flav comes 10 inches from him and just acts like he does not see him. And you see Diddy see that he is seeing him, but still ignoring him, and he kind of just sits there like, "Wow, what the fuck?" And Flava Flav, honey, with his big clock around his neck, is just not having it. He's like, "Don't let me not get up involved in your bullshit, sir." Now, apparently also Diddy had all of his electronic devices seized by the federal agents during that home raid. And baby, can you imagine what is on Diddy's phone? Especially if he did not have a chance to wipe them clean. Diddy, you in danger, girl. If you didn't think you were in danger before, you in danger now. Hard drives were taken, phones were taken, computers were taken. And then on the same day that his homes were raided by the authorities, a man accused of being the Bad Boy Record founder's drug mule was arrested in Miami. Girl, this seems like a multi-pronged sting operation going on and happening, and the sting is stinging. A guy named Brendan Paul, 25, ooh, baby, you got mixed up with the wrong one, was arrested at the Miami airport on coke and weed related charges. Now, Paul is actually mentioned in the much discussed lawsuit from Rodney Little Rod Jones, whose allegations we talked about in a previous podcast. So as the homes were being raided, they caught up with the private jet and they said, "Let us get up on here and find out about this drug mule." And he has it on TMZ, has his mugshot. Honey, it's rough when you realize that you have been the drug mule for the wrong evil person. Honey, you are in deep trouble. Supposedly, he acquires, distributes Mr. Combs' drugs. Now, of course, Diddy, Brother Love, old Rapey McRaperson, old Drugger McDruggerson is, of course, saying he is innocent and that all these charges are false. But we will have to see. Now, has everyone watched Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, which is basically the expose about all the Nickelodeon shows, including The Amanda Show, all that, Zoe 101, with people talking about Dan Schneider from Head of the Class back in the day, and also who was the main producer of that, acting inappropriately and mean and nasty and all sorts of terrible things, as well as bringing the light on the abuse suffered by Drake Bell at the hands of a very gross and scary dialogue coach on the set of right before his Drake and Bell show came out. He was sucked into a long engagement with this guy molesting him over and over again. Really horrifying. Well, there's obviously that has a lot of dark revelations that came out, and it is compelling and horrifying TV. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth it. But you will not leave humming a tune. You'll leave being like, whoa, that's fucked up. But it did lead to another very interesting blind item that I heard the other day. Now, in the movie, they talk about Dan Schneider, who was the heavyset guy. He was originally from the sitcom Head of the Class, and he was like the writer, producer, showrunner for The Amanda Show, all that, Zoe 101, the Drake and Bell Show, etc. He was not the guy that molested Drake Bell. That was a totally different guy on that show, but not him. In fact, Drake Bell actually said Dan Schneider was one of the only people that was there for him. So, you know, I don't know how that balances out with all the horrible other things that he's done, but that's just the facts of what Drake Bell said. But it's important to know his name for this blind item, because the blind item is about him, supposedly, and Jamie Lynn Spears. Now, remember, Jamie Lynn got pregnant at 16, and we always thought it was with her boyfriend, Casey, who loved to go to Mud Jam. But this blind item gives a thought that maybe it was something different. Now, this blind item, which was from 2007, so right around that time, it says, I don't even know how you define what list someone is on when they're on some ensemble show watched by teens and preteens. So go with the above and make her a female. Make her pregnant, which is causing the producers to have a heart attack because they really don't need any more scandals. But wait, there's more. One of the producers, who's old enough to be her grandmother, her grandfather, shouldn't be having a heart attack because of shock, because he supposedly is the one who knocked her up. New boyfriends are being lined up as we speak. Now, that is from 2007 when the whole shit went down, and the blind item revealed supposedly was that the person who got Jamie Lynn Spears pregnant was Dan Schneider. I mean, is the baby ugly or good looking? That's how we'll know. Because if it was Casey's baby, I think that was the name of her boyfriend at the time, he was very handsome. So I don't know what that kid looks like. So we don't know. But I mean, next time you see Jamie Lynn's first kid, take a look and see if she looks like Dan Schneider, so we can see whether there could be any truth to this blind item. I mean, that seems a little far-fetched to me, but any reason to mock Jamie Lynn sounds like a good one. Though that is quite a dark situation if Dan Schneider was fucking Jamie Lynn on the set at 16. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. More blind items that I found interesting this week included this one about Timothée Chalamet and Kylie Jenner. This meme actor has changed his phone number several times over the past couple months because he wants to break it off with a reality star, but then changes his mind and the process repeats itself, which revealed to be Timothée Chalamet, Kylie Jenner. And the article in which they're referencing, Timothée Chalamet keeping Kylie Jenner's romance low key for this reason, as well as Florence Pugh feuding with Kylie Jenner. Fans say as Timothée Chalamet's co-star fails to follow her back on Instagram. Can you imagine the fight at the Kardashian place with Timothée? With Timothée and Kylie, was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that Florence Pugh did not follow me back on Instagram. That's so lame. Like, well, baby, no, I can't. There's nothing I can do about that. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? There's nothing I can do to change. Like, you know, that Florence, like, she's her own person. I can't, like, force her. But she better fucking follow me back. Makes me look like a fucking stupid asshole. And then I have to unfollow her. And you know that's going to make fucking headlines.
Hold on. Let me just, let me pop out of here for a while. Change number, change number, change number, change number, change mind. I'm back, baby. I'm back, baby. I tried, but Florence wouldn't follow you. She thinks you're a vapid bitch. Well, that fucking cunt, Kim, can you fucking believe that? Oh my God. I cannot believe it. Can you believe it? I cannot believe it. I mean, when the people read their lips at the Golden Globes of what their conversation sounded like, it really shed a lot of light onto this relationship, which there doesn't seem to be a lot of deep conversation going on.
Reminds me of Paris, though. There's this one I like where this was black. Oh, yeah? Not this? Yeah, no thanks. Then he burps and swallows it. I love it. I love you. I want to go out. I don't think I want to go. I want to go somewhere nice, I think.
Woo! There's a tornado.
Now, Beyonce has released the actual album art for Cowboy Carter. And, I mean, we thought maybe it was just going to be... Fans are disappointed when it was just like a picture of the sash that said Cowboy Carter, like on a, you know, barn-type box. But we saw two new images for the cover of Cowboy Carter. And one is Beyonce in a full, like, rodeo leather red, white, and blue suit holding a flag with her white hair that we saw sort of at the Grammys with the cowgirl hat and the sash that says Cowboy Carter sitting on the back of the white horse. Of course, we're still keeping the horse theme as we did in Renaissance. This horse is, honey, this horse is a disco horse. This horse is a country horse. And we bet this horse will be a rock horse next album. As well as another look where she was giving sort of Stevie Wonder-esque braided bangs in another shot from the album. And there were two very prominent ladies of the music biz who did have something to say about these looks. Now, of course, we'll preface this by saying we think everything Beyonce does is perfect and that these looks are fantastic. But our favorite internet troll slash musical genius, Azealia Banks, had a lot to say about Beyonce's new album. Let's get into a little dramatic reading. Piece is titled Cowboy Carter. Wow, we didn't even try to put a little effort into a more artistic title. Sis, I live for White Yonce Donatella Bianca Bardot down, but I'm kind of ashamed at how you switch from baobab trees and black parade to this literal pick-me stuff. Like you do lame stuff like bringing out some blacklisted white women, Dixie Chicks, at the Country Music Awards, and they would never, ever do the same for you. You're always sharing your platform with white women who are so jealous of you, but have such a long history of sabotaging other black women's careers. Harsh. There was so much pertinent cultural commentary to be made here. I don't get why you have to be in white woman cosplay. What's really folk, bluegrass, adult contemporary? Facsimile country music. Like you had a phonetics coach and aced the vowel placements and twang to the lyrical melodic phrasing that is the backbone of contemporary Confederate romanticism in song. There could even be humor to it, which would bestow upon you and even a smidgen of personality to make you an interesting person again. But you're reinforcing the false rhetoric that country music is a post-Civil War white art form, and subsequently reinforcing the idea that there's no racism, segregation, slavery, violence, theft, massacres, plagues, manifest destiny, craziness that form the bedrock of epithets like proud to be an American or God bless the USA. It's interesting to hear what Azealia Banks has to say, even if we don't agree with it. Now, another person who was not amused by Beyonce's braided look was Erykah Badu, who posted the look. Now, Erykah Badu is known for her that same. She has worn that same style with the braids with the beads, beaded braids. You know, it's a look that's been done many times before. The Mary Jane girls, Stevie Wonder. I mean, numerous people over the years, thousands of people. But in terms of pop culture, you know, those are some of the biggest people. And of course, Erykah Badu has done the look. And so she posted a side by side when Beyonce posted that and said, And that was all it took to get the beehive all rustled up and wondering why Erykah was once again coming for their queen. I don't know exactly why she is so pinched about these. Because remember, during the Renaissance tour, there was one tour stop where Beyonce wore sort of big metal witchy kind of hats that were similar to what Erykah Badu often wears. And Erykah Badu said, I'm everybody's stylist now. You know, and she got a lot of heat for that too. And even Beyonce supposedly took out saying Badu in her Vogue remix for a little while as Sublime Shade. Now, Badu did the Instagram post where she reposted the cover of the 12-inch, which had the beaded braids with the caption, And then later followed up that Instagram post with a tweet bizarrely pleading to Beyonce's husband, Jay-Z, for help, saying to Jay-Z, say something, Jay, you're going to let this woman and these bees do this to me? Now, in an apparent response to Badu, Beyonce's longtime publicist slammed, in quotes, critics without credentials on Instagram by posting a video featuring Beyonce wearing braids throughout her career, stating, she slays now, then, always. And of course, Badu had to deal with the Beehive, who read her as she claimed to help from Jay. We're raking her ass over the coals. It's just not a great idea, Badu. You have so much good to do in the world. You do not need to be taking on Beyonce at this time. Someone sent me a post being like, is this true? And look, I could not find any evidence of it. And it was a supposed Britney Spears post where she said, I finally got a call from Beyonce who said how much she loved me and respected me. And I finally got the respect that I deserve. And so I decided to do a new song with Beyonce. It's called Ride 'Em. And we're two cowgirls together. Now I'm paraphrasing, but you get it. And I ran to Instagram to see, oh my God, did Britney really post that? And then I didn't see it. So, because don't you think if that actually happened, like the world would explode? People would lose their motherfucking mind. I mean, we thought we were going to do a Taylor Swift cameo, but what we got was Britney and Beyonce. Only Beyonce could bring Britney back. I don't see it happening, but I would love Ride 'Em by Beyonce featuring Britney Spears. I mean, we never know. One of the producers on Cowboy Carter said that there was a collaboration on the record that was going to make everybody go crazy. And originally they all thought it was going to be Taylor Swift. What if it was Britney? What if it was Britney?
It's me.
It is? In porn breakup news, it's not a breakup of a porn couple, but the TikTok / adult content creator sensations Brant's Boys is having a major shakeup. All on the same day, three of the biggest stars of the group all released statements saying that they are leaving. Now, let's get a little background on Brant's Boys. Now, if you remember, Brant's Boys started by a couple. Their fake names are Brant and Nash. They're a couple who live somewhere in the South, I think. Their identities have been revealed, but which you can find out if you Google their real identities. It's out there. They weren't none too pleased about it because neither of them showed their face. They're two very sexy men. One's a dom, one's a sub. And their site initially was them without their heads making love to each other. Very dommy, subby love. And it was hot. They both have great bodies. One's a little older, one's a bit younger. One was supposed to be like a college jock, and this was his dorm. His like, this is dom dad, his young dom dad. And I think they were pretty successful in their just showing no face couple porn site. And I think they would occasionally have other people in the mix. Well, around the pandemic, they met a person whose fake name is Jordan, who is a straight, in quotes, mustachioed, sort of stocky, muscly, fratty kind of looking bro. And that they began a storyline where he was going to slowly getting enticed into doing homosexual activity. And they built it to go on further, you know, suck a dick and get his dick sucked and eventually fucked and whatever. But then they started bringing in other characters. And then there was Kyle, another fake name, who was like a long, lean otter type, probably late 20s, early 30s, who was a sub for him, and they would start doing stuff, as well as Brant and Nash in the background. But then they brought in another character of fake name Troy, who is another straight 19-year-old jock, just, I don't know about this man, whoa, with a huge dick. And then he started to get into the mix. And then they had a whole nother character. I mean, they were really building. We were world building here. It was the Prance Boys cinematic universe. Then they had another person who came into the mix whose fake name was Alec. And he was a young, like a 20-year-old, tiny waist, big ass, muscly, almost looked like a anime muscly character. It was very sexy, super sub bottom, who was a fan of Rance Boys, and you know, we don't know how real it is. It had campaigned to be joined the house, and he had finally done it. He went paused school to go live in the Brant Boys world. Now, somebody made a very funny TikTok about Brant Boys because they really, Brant Boys really did an interesting, played an interesting game. They were selling sort of semi-erotic TikToks, but you know, you can't be too erotic on TikTok, but it was enough to entice people to go to the site, showing the personalities of the jock, the otter, the frat boy, the teen muscle guy, and selling the fantasy. And then when you got into the mix, they started to act like what the one straight guy and the otter were kind of a couple, and that the teen jock and the teen muscle jock were also one kind of a couple, though there was crossover. And sometimes they would do things that were just more intimately kissing, but other times they'd be like, yeah, fuck. And they did lots of role plays, like you have to get into the party, POV, you have to get into the frat party, but you didn't bring any beer, you know, that type of thing.
All right, so a lot of people think that a new guy coming into the house is going to cause issues between Kyle and I. I mean, I don't think that's true, and we're here to prove that everything's just fine. So what's wrong?
I mean, do we have to do this on camera? Can we just talk about it between me and you?
Oh, I thought we were going to make a video explaining everything was fine. Are you actually in something wrong?
I mean, I am a little worried about it.
What are you worried about?
I don't know. I still want things to change between us.
Nothing's going to change between us.
Promise?
Yeah, everything's fine. You want to cut this off?
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk.
Okay.
Anyway, they were seriously world building, selling you the fantasy. And it seemed like, and someone made a TikTok that said it looked like they lived in Skinamarink, because they all, Skinamarink was a movie about two little, it's a very spooky indie film about two kids who are lost in their own house. It's spooky, it's black and white. There's no light coming from inside. This always, you're always inside a sort of shadowy room, and you're lost in these rooms that all look the same. And that was kind of like the world that Brant Boys filmed in. They always had the curtains closed. They had that TikTok kind of lighting, no furniture, mostly just focused on them. And someone made a TikTok saying the Brant Boys live in Skinamarink. Anyway, even though it wasn't always the hottest content, the storyline, I mean, the whole fantasy they were selling was quite interesting, and I was a subscriber.
And I guess in this fantasy world, like Brant was kind of like the boss Dom, and he would have Jordan do stuff with him, but with the other guys. And then they all had different levels of Doming, but then they were also like cuddly, snuggly buddies in different versions. I mean, they were world building. Way to go, Brant, on the world building. But all in one day, they announced that the teen jock Alec, the frat jock, all the different jock categories, the frat boy, the straight frat jock Troy, and the gay otter Kyle, all fake names, remember, said they were all leaving. Now, of course, we were hoping it would be something very dramatic, but they all put out statements at the same time that they were parted ways. Now, does anyone care to look deeper in this? I don't know. I mean, it's certainly, I wonder, I would love to know what the real deal is. It seems like they must have all had to work pretty hard to make the amount of content that they did. They put out, like, you know, tons of TikTok. They each had their own TikTok account with their Brant's Voice Kyle, Brant's Voice Jordan, Brant's Voice Nish. I mean, they did it, and Brant and Nash still managed to keep their faces out of the thing. I mean, well played to them. But I guess Alec said he was going back to school, and that he, you know, the door is always open to come back. He didn't think he would thought he would just come spend a couple months with Brant, but he spent 2.5 years. Now he's got to go back to school. Kyle, the gay otter, said, "I always move around a lot, and now I'm just going to move around a lot again. I got to move. I got to go. Got to fly." And then the straight frat jock type was like, "I've done a lot. I've pushed it to my limits. You know, I know y'all want to see me get fucked, but I'm not going there." Basically, it's kind of walked around that. But, you know, hope you enjoyed all the work that I did for you, all my dick shots, all the fucking of asses that I did. Thank you so much. But I'm going to take a step back now, and I don't want y'all to be subscribing for me and wonder why the fuck I'm not doing no content. Who's sticking around? Well, the original straight, supposedly married guy, Jordan, who is now going to be the new centerpiece of the site. And they say they're going to look to call to new men who want to step into the Brant's universe. Regular hot guys who want to get with Jordan and go for it. Let's see. What do they say? Let's go to their official statement. I mean, Jordan's going to have to step up and be a lot more gay. I mean, because there's a lot. I mean, this was definitely coordinated. Maybe they all just decided that's a lot of work. We're not making enough money. Who knows? Jordan says, "Brant and I have had many conversations about what we wanted to ensure we continue to push our content to new heights. The other guys take their much needed time away. We finally agreed on our next step. And I want to be sure to avoid any confusion about what you can expect going forward." So Jordan was like, "Cut me in and we'll make this happen." So please bear with me through this extensive explanation. I will try to boil it down for us. "As a straight man filming gay porn, I've had my fair share of confusing moments. I spent hours digging to the root of what my purpose is within this space in order to determine what my next step should be. I've come here to realize that my priority has always been to help my subscribers." "I think for anyone that's success in this field, your main objective has got to be is to reach as many people as you possibly can. I have the ability to help large amounts of people find release. Why shouldn't I not push that as far as I can go? What a hero. Another big discovery I had during my self-recollection is that by getting other people off, I learned that can happen. Is that I get off by getting other people off, which I've learned can happen in many different ways." Okay, then he goes on to continue to say he loves to get people off. "But that being said, I want to address some longtime repeating comments and requests in hopes I can provide clarity. Stop saying, ask me to get fucked." This is what he's going to say. "I do not include bottoming in my definition to getting as many people off as possible, okay? Because I looked at it as more of letting someone get themselves off, which doesn't align with my main objective." Okay, so A, he's not going to get fucked, but what is he going to do?
I've agreed to give Brandt complete control of all my ejaculations in the foreseeable future. I mean, way to step up. I'm not going to get fucked, but I'm giving Brandt control of all my ejaculations. He made a good argument that I had to be accountable in order to make progress for my new goal of getting off as many people as possible. I love this goal. Okay. So he's like, I'm going to work hard to do that. I'm going to fuck whoever it takes. I'm going to suck a dick, blah, blah, blah. Though I must say, if I was Brandt and Nash, I would be shook up that these stars that you built and like spent all this time doing, like, were ditching. Now, Brandt gives his plan of action. He said, I've made it clear to Jordan that I would be reaching out to friends, fans, and maybe even other content creators looking for anyone who needs to come and coordinating meetups so I can push his commitment to getting off as many people as possible. This narrative to the test. I also made him agree to give me complete control of when he's allowed to come. He says, I plan to push him to his limits, make him show as dominant we can be. Look, if you know there's one thing about Brandt, he's world building. So look, they've had a little shakeup. They've got to build it back up. Now it's time for him to show us what no mercy really looks like. Okay, so they're going to lean into his dom topness. There's so many regular dudes out there who wish they could sneak away from their normal lives for a quick break to be shown the appreciation they deserve. They only get small windows of time to look back on that kind of release. They're desperate for it. They'll take anything they can get. Okay, so he's going to be looking for number one sub cocksuckers to come let Jordan rail him since he's not going to be a bottom. And you know what? We'll be watching. RIP original Brandt boys, but we'll see what's next. And if there is a scandal, please someone send me a tip and let me know because I'd love to know the inside tea.
All the bottoms in the club.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's show, and if you did, baby, write me a nice review on iTunes. You know, I do check, and I see when someone writes a nice one, I say, another week worth doing this. Let's just keep going. There's someone's enjoying it, and I do love to hear that. So give it 5 stars. Write a nice review on Spotify or podcast or Apple Podcasts, and be a cutie. You know what I mean? Don't be a wah-wah baby. Be a cutie. You know what I'm saying? And for more extra gay faggoty podcasts all week long, why don't you just join the Patreon at patreon.com/gayestofalltime. This week coming up, we got a Roadhouse watch along. I'm talking to Kevin Aviance, and he's spilling the tea on all of his crazy years since the Beyonce thing happened, his new album, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And of course, you should be watching Hate Queen every Monday at 3:30 p.m. on WoW Presents Plus. This week's interview is with the New York City's elf, Dawn. She brought it. She was fun. She looked great. She's sassy as hell. She threw some shade. So I'm going to come in and check that out. And I will see you next week on another episode of Gay As Fuck.
Every single night, bottoms take it deep. Let me see you ride. Hell yeah, twink it up, twink, twink it up. When straight guys around me, they be staring at my junk. Staring at my junk, they be staring at my junk. When straight guys around me, they be staring at my junk.
All the bottoms in the club.
thing getting his ass personally. So.